Satan is actually trying to get you to do his bidding. He's trying to get you to submit to his will rather than to the will of God. Don't miss it, you know. Satan's work has always been to try to supplant God and to put himself in God's place. And in this period, which we call the tribulation, the Bible lets us know that Satan will install himself in God's holy temple and demand that he be worshipped. And if you don't worship him, your life is at stake.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Last week, Pastor Brian Grant led us through the dramatic and climactic events the Bible describes that lead up to the coming of Christ to the earth to set up his kingdom. This week, Pastor Grant begins his fourth message in the series entitled, Where on Earth Are We Headed?, by showing how that world-changing kingdom of righteousness is related to the fulfillment of the promises of God made through the ancient prophets. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and verses 31 through 46, and join Pastor Grant as he brings the message, Thy Kingdom Come. Once again, Pastor Grant.
No, I don't know about you. I'm praising the Lord today. Because no matter who may say that there is no God, and no matter what the devil tries to pull, I know that my God is real. Amen? He is real. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the things he has in store for those of us who know him. And I hope if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I just trust you're shouting praise the Lord as you look forward to the wonderful future God has in store for us. Amen? Amen. Now, last week I spoke about the second coming of Christ, and I indicated that when Jesus returns to earth, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I said to you that this morning I wanted to talk with you about his kingdom. You remember in what is known as the Lord's Prayer, there is a little line that says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And many times we may say that, not recognizing the full context and the full understanding of what we're talking about. But listen, during what we're talking about, when Jesus returns to earth, that prayer that we have prayed will be fully realized because his kingdom will come on earth. Indeed, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because Jesus Christ is coming to reign as King Supreme. And this morning we want to take a little bit look at this. The Bible scholars refer to this period when Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom on earth. Bible scholars call it the millennium. And it's called the millennium because the Bible indicates in Revelation chapter 20 and in other places that this reign on earth will be a 1,000 year reign. Jesus is coming to reign on earth. Now, you may say, what is the purpose of this kingdom? What is the purpose? I mean, you may say, if Jesus is coming to, why is he bothering to come to reign on earth for 1,000 years? If we're going to live in heaven, and I was thinking about this as I was preparing, if he's going to be reigning in heaven for eternity, why don't we just skip this millennium and just go straight on through? You know, like Monopoly, do not pass, go. Well, I guess that's not a good illustration. But the bottom line, why bother? Why do we have to have a stop? You see, the millennium is necessary for a number of reasons. But let me just share with you that God, one of the reasons that the millennium is necessary is because God must keep his promises. One of the things that we're learning as we're studying this is how the word of God is dependable. And anything that God tells you, any every promise is yea and amen. We can depend on it. And some of the promises in the Old Testament are yet to be fulfilled. Do you realize not everything he promised the children of Israel have been fulfilled? For example, I put here, and we're going to say a little bit more later on, but the Davidic covenant. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, God promised that David's heir would sit on the throne. And that promise still is to be fulfilled. The Palestinian covenant, which some call the land covenant. And in Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 20, you can look them up on your own. The land area God promised Israel has never fully been controlled by them. In other words, the full extent of the area that God promised, Genesis 15, 18 to 20, actually defines the land area that God had given them. They have never, ever occupied the full area that God promised them. And God cannot make a promise and not keep it. And so these promises are yet to be fulfilled. And one of the purposes of the millennium kingdom is for God to keep his promises and fulfill his word. Amen. But let's look at the preparation for the kingdom. Last week I shared with you that during the millennium, remember one of the things we said last week, that when Jesus Christ comes and set up his kingdom, peace will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Well, the logical question then is, how in the world will peace cover the earth as the waters cover the sea with Satan and the Antichrist loose and doing their own thing? How in the world can we have peace? I thought you'd never ask. There are two critical things that God does as he prepares this world for the kingdom of Christ. Number one, listen, there is the defeat of the Antichrist. You remember, those of you, and I know not everybody has been following in our series, and I see some folks missing this morning, but listen, I encourage you, because each of these messages are building on the other, whatever you miss out, we encourage you to go online or to buy one of the tapes. Go to our website, it's there on the bulletin, and check the messages out, because some of the messages are building on each other. And if you miss a piece, it's important that you catch up. Amen? So I encourage you. But a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that the Antichrist will be Satan's fake Messiah. He's going to be filled with the spirit and power of Satan and will wreak havoc on the world. Now, it's interesting that this Antichrist will eventually install himself. You remember we spoke about that? He will install himself where? In the holy place and demand that he be worshipped as if he's God. Hasn't that been what Satan is up to all along? Satan's objective from the very beginning: I will be like the Most High God. And that's, do you realize what he's trying to do in your life and my life? Satan is actually trying to get you to do his bidding. He's trying to get you to submit to his will rather than to the will of God. Don't miss it, you know. Satan's work has always been to try to supplant God and to put himself in God's place. And in this period, which we call the tribulation, the Bible lets us know that Satan will install himself in God's holy temple and demand that he be worshipped. And if you don't worship him, your life is at stake. But God will not share his glory with another, my Bible says. God will not share his glory with another. And so guess what? When Jesus returns, his first order of business will be to deal with the Antichrist. Jesus will show who's got the power. Sometimes God allows Satan a lot of rope. And if we're not careful, it may appear that Satan is in control. And just this morning in our Sunday school class, the Ruckers were sharing with us, because their son's cousin by marriage is one of those that has been captured by ISIS. And some of you saw it over the weekend, because this has now, you know, sometimes these things seem so distant, but it's really right here. Because suddenly now we actually have in our company this morning a family who is close to this young man who has been captured by ISIS, and he's they have threatened to behead him. And so here we go. you would think that Satan is in control, that God has lost control. But I want you to know that my God has never been out of control. It may seem that things have gone crazy, but Jesus is still on the throne and God is working out his plan. And I want to tell you, my friend, even in your own life, sometimes it seems like all hell has broken loose. Sometimes you don't know if you're going right or left. Everything seems so confused. But I want you to know, if you know Jesus as your Savior, he is still in control. We can trust him. Even when we can't trace him, we can trust him. Hold on to him. He's holding on to you. Let's look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Let's read a couple verses there. We're going to pick up in verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 19. And the word of God says, "Now I saw heaven open." If you're there, say amen. "Now I saw heaven open, and behold," I'm in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, verse 11, "and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." I hope you know who we're talking about. In case you don't know, let's read on. "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called," what? "The Word of God." Do we know who we're talking about? Oh, we're talking about the one, the Bible describes him here, whose robe is dipped in blood. We're talking the one who died for our sins, whose blood was shed on the cross of Calvary for your sin and my sin. We're talking about the one in whose name there is power, in whose name there is salvation. And the Bible says he is the living Word of God. And the armies in heaven, verse number 14, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Who is that talking about? Oh my goodness, this is the saints. And if you look, remember some months ago, we looked at some of those scriptures that helped us to realize who he's talking about here. Verse number 8 of the same passage. "And to her," it's talking about the marriage. Verse number 7 of Revelation 19. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." The people in white linen is the blood-bought saints, the church of Jesus Christ. And so in verse number 14 we read, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." Aren't you glad that when Jesus, the Messiah, when he comes riding, that you're going to come riding right behind him? Amen. He's not going to leave me alone. Wherever he goes, I'm going to go. Hallelujah. And here we come. Here we come. Oh, I hope this morning, if you don't know this Jesus, you'll come to know him. But look at verse number 15. It says, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that he should strike the nations." I got to stop here, because let me tell you this. One of the greatest mistakes people make is that they say that this Jesus, God is such a God of love. He would never do anything. All this stuff about hell and all this is hocus pocus, just trying to scare us. But listen, it's important you know that this same Jesus that is described as the one whose robe is dipped in blood, he's suddenly now being described as the one from whose mouth goes a sharp sword. This God, who is the God of love, who wants to save you this morning, is the same God that if you turn your back on him and said, "I don't care that you died for me. I don't need your salvation." If you turn your back on this Jesus who died for your sin, the Bible says this Jesus, this same one, he's coming as a judge. He's coming with a sharp sword that he should strike the nations. The Bible says he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written. Then I saw, verse number 17, an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds, listen, these are some of the most gory verses in the Bible. He cried to the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. There is going to be so much people killed. There is going to be, when Jesus comes, there are going to be such a slaughter. The Bible says the birds, all the carrier birds, are invited to come and eat the flesh of those who have died. Oh, I know this doesn't sound good. I'm so glad I'm saved. I am so glad that I am saved. But let's pick up here. Then the beast was captured. Verse number 20. Verse number 19. I saw the beast. Remember, we saw that the beast, the Bible uses some of these figurative words. And we saw in a previous message that the beast is one of the words the Bible uses to describe this Antichrist. The Bible says here, I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And Satan's counterfeit Messiah is going to try to fight the Jesus, the Messiah. A showdown. I think they had a movie, what? Showdown or the OK Corral? Is that what it was called? This is going to be a showdown. Satan's Messiah, the Antichrist, versus God's Messiah, Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Bible says, verse number 20. You know, when you had the showdown at the OK Corral, there was a lot of bullets firing on both sides. It went on for a while, but this one didn't go on any while. The Bible just says, the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he received those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. We don't have time to go into all that again. We've covered all of that, both the mark of the beast and receiving the mark of the beast. And the Bible says these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Jesus Christ, the King, the one riding on the white horse, he is going to capture the beast, the Antichrist, and he is going to put him in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Goodbye, beast. But it's one thing to get rid of the beast. What about Satan himself? Well, look with me at Revelation chapter 20. Look at what's going to happen to Satan. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after this, he's going to be let go for a little while. So Satan is chained. So what is the preparation for this kingdom? The preparation for the kingdom? The Antichrist is thrown in the lake of fire. Satan himself is chained in this bottomless pit. And for the first time in history, no one can blame the devil.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. You can listen to or download this broadcast or view a DVD of the complete message by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. The messages coincide with the television series AD on NBC. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550.
As a teenager, I'm excited to invite you to our new season of Tuesday Night Connections. The program includes the whole family with clubs for youth and kids, as well as 4 Bible studies for adults to choose from. Free dinner and childcare are also provided. You don't want to miss this. For details, call our office at 215-242-5550. Again, 215-242-5550. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Grant as he concludes today's message.
Do you realize that people will continue sinning? People, you see, sin is not just because of what the devil does, you know. There is something in your heart and mind. I hope you realize that. There is something in your heart that makes you want to rebel against God. There is something in you that makes you want to do your own thing. There is something that makes you say, I will not have this God to reign over me. I can do what I want. And so even though Satan is removed, the Bible lets us to know that men are still going to sin. But oh, you're going to find out that if we had time to go into it, you'll find that God is going to stamp, the Lord Jesus is going to reign with such a rod of iron that anyone, when sin raises its head, it's going to be stamped out. The reason there's going to be such incredible peace in that period is because whenever sin pops its little head up, the Lord Jesus, who is reigning along with us, its sin is going to be dealt with so quickly and so suddenly that peace will reign. But something in our heart, the Bible calls it sin. There's a sin nature. And young person, I hope you realize the challenge you have. The reason why sometimes you're doing stuff that you wish you didn't do. Come on now. I know there's some of you here that your life is not going the way it should. I'm not just talking about my life. There's some stuff that you know you ought not to do, that it is going to wreck your life. It's going to destroy you. And yet you're still doing it. Why are you doing it? Because the Bible says there's this sin in us. There is something in us. It's not just the devil. And this morning God wants to help you. Young person, older person, God wants to help you. He wants to change you. Listen, God wants to give you. You see, listen, what I'm talking about this morning is not just about getting to heaven. What I'm talking about is a God who wants to change you right now and give you a life. The Bible, this is such a special thing. The Bible calls it the abundant life. Jesus Christ wants to give you the abundant life, a different type of life. God actually puts, listen, God puts his divine nature in you. The moment you really come to Jesus and ask him to save you and say, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. The Spirit of God, God comes into you and he helps you to live a victorious life. Oh, I hope this morning you'll say yes to Jesus. Oh, I'm praying for you that this morning will be your day when you will say yes to the Savior.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.